Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Gail Voucho. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to
Not
be with you.
a problem. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name's Gail Voucho. I'm the president of the Brady Voucho Autism Foundation. We live here in the Raleigh area of North Carolina. My husband and I started this foundation a couple of years ago. We are parents to our son, Brady, of course, who is 16. He'll be a junior this coming fall. And when we moved here to the Raleigh area in 2016 from South Florida, we, like most special needs parents, did a lot of research. Search in this area. And we felt pretty good about coming here. There were some really wonderful universities like Duke and UNC, and they had some really amazing autism programs. The Duke Center for Autism and Brain Development, UNC has the Teach, facility. And so when we moved here, I was very nervous moving my 7-year-old son away from the team that we had there. But I felt pretty good about what I was finding, at least through those schools. And I thought, okay, they're going to be churning out a lot of, occupational therapists and BCBAs and speech therapists, and I should be able to find most of these clinics. Well, that wasn't the case. So when we got here and I was, searching for these resources, I decided that, and I felt that if we were, as a family, were having trouble finding these resources, other families must be having trouble as well. So we kind of dipped our toe into the nonprofit world with starting a resource fair and community event just for autistic children and families here in Wake County. And we call it the Holly Springs Autism Acceptance Day event. So that was our first sort of, introduction, I guess, if you will, into, doing some sort of like coming into this nonprofit world.
All right. When was Brady diagnosed with autism?
So Brady was diagnosed at 2.5 years old. He's our only child. So we didn't have like other kids at home to kind of look at him and then look at other kids and notice that things were like vastly different, right? Things to me seemed a little off when he was a little bit, before the age of 2. He wasn't talking. He hadn't met some of the gross motor milestones. He walked very late, didn't sit up till much later, didn't really crawl in the typical way on all fours. But I really wasn't connecting the dots yet. And then I thought, well, at 2, he's not really saying anything, but is that really a big sign? Maybe he's an only child. He's a boy. People were saying, oh, boys talk much later than girls. But at the 2-year visit, at his well visit at his pediatrician, he asked me, is Brady saying, he should be saying at least 5 words. Is he pointing? No. Does he blow kisses? No. Does he wave bye-bye? No. And then, so he hadn't met some of those markers as well. And then when I was with Brady, he wasn't really engaged with me too much. It was more like he was just really focused on whatever was in his hands, be it some blocks, a truck, a book. Didn't really, when I walked into the room, look up at me, reach for me, want to give me the toy. So these were the kind of things that were starting to worry me somewhat, that something, there could be some other delays going on. So on our pediatrician's advice, we took him to a speech therapist. through early steps. And they recommended, yes, Brady meets the criteria for getting some speech. And they recommended just once a week. So that's sort of where we began.
All right. Now, does he have any sensory issues?
Yes. He's always had a lot of sensory issues, especially with his head. I remember when he was much younger, he'd like to wear a lot of hats and things on his head. So it's almost sort of protected, I think. There was a time when he wore a huge green sort of, one of those green felt hats, like those oversized St. Patrick's Day hats. I don't know, somebody gave it to him once. Well, he would not take it off. And every time I tried to take it off, he would scream and cry, and he slept with it on. He wore it everywhere. This was like the age of like 3, 4. And I think it was almost like as a shield, as a protection, because haircuts were really difficult. Washing our hair was really difficult. Even now, at the age of 16, haircuts are not a favorite thing. Brushing his hair, washing his hair, he does all those things, but I know he doesn't like it. And also sounds. There's a lot of sounds that tend to bother him. The hand dryer in a restroom will really, whatever decibel that is, will really bother him. However, the vacuum is okay. Fireworks, no. When we're on a plane and the plane takes off, that can really disturb him. He puts his hands over his ears. So I think it just falls on whatever that decibel is. And some food textures will bother him too.
Have you found any of his special interests yet?
So I always say he's a guy of a few words, and he never really seems to get super excited over things except for science, a science museum, Legos, ice cream, some books. He likes to read, but he hasn't really said to me, "Mom, I'm really super into this, and this is what I want to go do." But if I was to say to him, "Hey, let's go to this cool science museum," that sounds great, I could see in the smile on his face and his enthusiasm when we get there, kind of like lets me know that, okay, this is a good place for him, today.
Now, we were talking before about what he's doing now. Would you have say that this may become one of his special interests because it's involving science? And what, tell everyone where he's at and what he's doing.
Yeah, so he got accepted into this science camp for this week. It's hosted by Biogen. They are a biomedical lab here in Raleigh. They're also like worldwide. They make different medicines. They do research for different medicines, different diseases like ALS, lupus, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's. So I found this through Linkit NC, which is an organization that helps high schoolers now and kids in college, either community college or other universities, find jobs, find internships, find job shadows. And they work with dozens and dozens of companies here in North Carolina. Also, Department of Health and Human Services for job placement and working on those skills. So this summer, this was a pilot program, and Biogen is one of their companies that they do work with. And they started a camp this week. So he's over there working in a lab, wearing a lab coat with about seven other high school kids who are all autistic. And getting to just look in microscopes at different, things. And they worked on this system of this of skin, and now and then yesterday was the digestive system, and they got to make things in the lab, and they got to eat in the cafeteria with the other workers. And every day he's just been coming home, with a huge smile on his face. So I'm hoping that this is kind of like sparking this interest. He's always had an interest in science, and that's one of, places where he does excel, that and math. So, having experiences like this that these companies are doing is really it's fantastic. And I'm so grateful that these companies exist, and they're so welcoming, to kids like mine, and other individuals, who are neurodivergent. Because they really have so much to give, if they just if people just have an open mind about it. So we're very proud of them. So when we came here, and like I was saying, we couldn't find those resources, we started with the Autism Acceptance Day, and we invited a few of the clinics, like the speech therapists, occupational therapists, some camps that I could find. We did invite them to come to that very first one. And we also hold it at the Holly Springs Police Department. I went to them with my idea. They were really wonderful. They also, as a police department, wanted to do something with the autism community. They just didn't know what to do. So they loved my idea of having this event, and they wanted to hold it at their facility on their grounds. And they have a really nice facility that was pretty new. So we hold it outside. And I invited these clinics to come, and these camps to come and have a table. And we had food trucks and a bounce house and music. And it was just I just wanted a day where parents could come with their kids and let these kids just be themselves. Nobody was going to look at you sideways if your child was having a moment or was crying. We have a quiet space inside if they needed to take a break, and really kind of get the information face to face, with a speech therapist or an ABA clinic or a camp. And you get to talk to them face to face, which is nice, right? Instead of on the phone and I'll call you back and maybe they will. And then also part of our foundation is we give first responder trainings to police stations and fire departments and emergency rooms on how to appropriately interact with the autism population. Because if anybody just Googles autism and law enforcement, there's a lot of stories, that are going to pop up that are really hard to read. There's people getting, arrested, people getting shot, kids getting thrown in the back of a police car from school, suspended. So, my husband and Matt and I go to these different police departments and fire stations, and we have a presentation. It's an hour long, and we're really coming from a parent's perspective. Like, you have to realize what it is about our kids. Our kids are different, and here's what they go through. Here's some characteristics that you're gonna see. So you can't, you have to tailor your reaction to everything. The police are doing a good job, but they can do better, so that these things aren't happening any longer. Right? That's right. There's a lot of characteristics and behaviors that are misinterpreted as something else, right? Somebody could look to a police officer like that person may be under the influence of something right now. Maybe they're pacing back and forth, maybe they're talking to themselves, but all it is a 17-year-old who's waiting outside of the store, whose mom is a little late, picking him up. And he's getting super anxious right now and completely overwhelmed. And he's maybe doing some stimming, and this looks completely different to somebody else who does not know what autism looks like, right? So this is where the, miscommunications lie. And, I know you're seeing this, but it isn't. Or there's a person in the store who's pacing in front of the candy, display, and the shopkeeper's like, "Is that kid gonna steal something right now? Maybe I should call the cops." That's not it. He's just having trouble making a choice, so maybe he just needs some assistance. Hey, can I help you make a choice? cops are being called, right? And then what happens? The sirens are on. The hey, stop what you're doing. What are you doing over there? And this is how things escalate, right? So, we outline our presentation. What it looks like is we kind of show them what, certain common, and we all know, if you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism, right? You are completely different than what my son may look like, than what the next girl may look like. However, there's some commonalities, okay, that may hold true. So we kind of give them a framework of, things, how to de-escalate those situations. You don't want to pull up there, with sirens blasting, lights going, things on a megaphone and peppering them with a whole bunch of questions. They may not want to be touched. They, may not understand what you're asking them. They may not respond to you right away. You give them time. They may not even be, they may be a non-speaking person, right? So then what do you do? So my husband and I came up with a sensory tool bag, which has fidgets in there and a communication board, sunglasses if they're outside, maybe the sun is bothering them or the lights are bothering them. And we teach them how to use that appropriately. Maybe you want to reach into your bag and pull out something and roll a ball to them, and maybe they'll pick up something and it'll start to like calm them down, or maybe they'll start, using a fidget spinner, or having a stress ball, and then using that communication board. Maybe they can type out their name with the keyboard on the back or their phone number. Maybe you should look for an ID card. My son carries one on him that tells, first responders or whoever that he is an autistic individual. I am his caregiver. Here's my phone number. This information is really powerful. And your autism is something that should be, hidden or shameful. You are who you are, and it's a beautiful thing, right? So, and the more they know about you, the better they can assist you. So that's kind of like what the presentations look like. All positive reception, all positive reception. And we get tons of questions at the end. Oftentimes there's parents, officers, their parents themselves, and they'll come up and tell me like, my 10-year-old is on the spectrum. This is really fantastic. I've been wanting this in our department. I'm trying to share this with my other fellow officers. Or hey, my neighbor's kid, I think he's autistic, and this is really great for information for me. Now I know how to help, this family in our community. They go to these calls, all the time. They're getting phone calls. And whether it's for that autistic individual that lives in that house, or sometimes it's a domestic call for the parents, right? And then the child is getting really super upset because of what's going on. Yeah, that's true. And we also tell the officers that we train, host a meet and greet for your special needs families in your community. Allow them to come here, on a time when they're not in a crisis, right? When things aren't happening, when it's a fun, safe, friendly way. Have them come visit the station. Have them come see you in your uniform. Let them touch the fire truck. Let them go on there, right? Our families use all these services. There are times when we have to call maybe the fire department or a police person, officer for help. My family did. My son did go into a crisis when he was 8, and we could not transport him to the hospital safely. This is what led me do this whole type of training. And the officer, as much as he wanted to help, he said, I really don't know what to do at this moment with him, And so I was like, well, then please just stand back and don't do anything. And that's the reason why we hold it at the Holly Springs Police Department, because it's a fun day. The officer out they're out there dancing with the kids, they're talking to the families. They get to also get a picture ID card made that day at the precinct. They get to put their kids' information into the Wake County system that if you want to, you can say, okay, my son is, or my daughter is autistic. This is where we live, and I want them like have a flag, and because they're a runner. They run out of the house daily. And what if they're missing? Now they've been identified, right? And maybe they like a certain park, So now the officers have more information about this child and where they like to go and how better to support them and this family. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And our schools here, most of them have school resource officers placed in the schools. And to me, they play a vital role, in these kids' lives. And we've had some really exceptional ones, really great ones, who go into the special needs classrooms. And I tell them, they come to our trainings too. If you don't go visit the special needs classrooms every day, you should, because you're really missing out on this incredible group of kids, right? Who are so loving and so affectionate. And the impact you can make on their lives is so profound, and getting to know these kids in this way, in the school setting especially, and for all the kids in school who are having like mental health crisis and moments, right? Our kids are like suffering right now, because of what happened in COVID and being isolated. I've been reading, like the mental health of like our teenagers, especially whether they're autistic or not, is really fragile right now. And these officers, it should be incumbent upon them to create that safety net for them. Things that go on at school, right? Between the shootings and everything. It's like school isn't what it used to be. You know what I mean? A lot of these kids have that anxiety going there. Like, what's going to happen today at school? Like, who knows? It should always be a safe place, your school. And these officers really, they hold a big key to that. You know what I mean? And they really have an important job. So they really need to use that. Oh boy, I would love to if I could get other people to help us. There are other trainings though, I have to say, and some on a much bigger scale than what my husband Matt and I do. For instance, in New Jersey, it's called POAC, and they do a phenomenal job of training the officers up there. And they are really, really super, super big. They have a huge staff. It's a big organization. So they do an exceptional job. And there are some other like retired police officers also that are parents that I've read about that go around and do some other trainings, in other states. So there are more of us around. I feel like, I'm just trying to help my little corner of the world here in Holly Springs. And, we've reached about, oh, I don't know, six or seven police departments and, some fire departments. And I'd like to start doing some emergency rooms, because our kids go there, right? A really difficult time in an emergency room. And the bags, we've donated 300 of our sensory bags. And this is why we fundraise so hard, because everything is free. The trainings are free, the bags are free. We give our bags out to whoever asks for them, businesses, schools, anybody who feels like they could benefit with some sensory bags at their workplace. Yes, but I think the training, who's ever doing the training, it's really important. And it coming from parents, I think, means a lot. I'm not just some researcher standing up here, giving you some sort of data, right? That can be a little, okay, it's just another person giving us data. I have lived experience. My husband has lived experience. And we've also brought Brady to some of these trainings and let him speak as well, because who better than coming from, my son, who actually is autistic? Like, what do you want the officers to know, as a person who is autistic, that this matters the most to? It matters to me because I worry. I'm a mom, and I worry when he's not with me, that is he going to be safe and okay outside? But I want him to be able to express that to others, in the world, and have his point of view, his own individual point of view heard. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We should be able to go to our police officers and not be afraid or not be worried, especially, families of color, and underserved families. I have a different out view because I'm a white woman and my kid's white. But I can't imagine the worry of a black family, and let alone an autistic black kid, and the worry that their family would have, right? So, and how things can go really wrong just because of that reason, So, it's important, that this message, gets out there. And these individuals, autism is a natural variation in the human brain. That's my belief. They've always, autistic people have always existed, and they will continue to exist. And they have wonderful things like yourself to contribute to the world, and my son. But we just need to learn about each other, so that we can help each other and benefit from each other. Yes. So, friends is always a difficult part. And Brady expresses that he wants friends. And I'm happy to say that this year he's had so much growth in so many areas, and we couldn't be more proud of him. And especially in this honors chemistry class that he had this group of kids that he was with, and there was a couple of girls in his group that he was working with, and they really sort of got to know him, and they all became friends, and they've gone out to lunch together, and they text each other. And one of them was a senior, and she went on to college. And they've been FaceTiming together. And he's just, it's really ha I'm really happy to see that, for him, because I know deep down that's what he wants in life. He does want a couple of good friends, and having those social, experiences and socialization. I know that is important to him, and I keep telling him, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. It just takes a little time. But he has made such big strides. And I always tell my families that I support, in the work I do, and especially the ones that are young, right? That are like 3, 4, 5, that can't see the forest through the trees yet, right? Because I was there, like, this will never happen. We're never going to get past this. You will, you will. They're going to make these amazing strides when you least expect it, expose them to all the things. That's what Matt and I always did with Brady. Did we have big failures? Yes. were we kicked out of karate and other places? Absolutely. There were lots of times where living in the house was easier and safer to me than outside. But we still took him to places. And even if it was just 10 minutes that he lasted, the next time was 20 minutes, and the next time was an hour. And they get there. He started playing ice hockey, like ice hockey, the kid from Florida, never saw an ice rink before and in his life, didn't even know anything about ice hockey. And now he's on this ice hockey team, and so he goes and just, loves it. Yeah, it's hard, like, it is a hard sport. It's probably one of the hardest sports, out there. And so for him to say this, like, he started with ball hockey. It is a special needs organization. So I don't want people to think like, oh, he just, went out and started playing this on this fantastic team. It is a special needs, it's called the Triangle special needs ice hockey for those of your listeners who live here in the Raleigh area. It's fantastic. And he started out just the indoor ball hockey. And the director said, "Oh, by the way, we do ice." And he goes, "I want to try ice." And but it's just the having the open-mindedness that he showed me of wanting to do it. You know, he came to that conclusion on his own. It wasn't me like prodding him, "Hey, don't you want to give this a try?" Wink, wink. You know, he came to me and said, "I want to try that, Mom." And I said, "Oh, okay, that sounds great." So now he's been doing it and he's skating. And, he's my kid's 6'2". He's not a little kid. You know? He's a giant kid out there on those skates. And he's probably one of the biggest ones out there. So, you know, they pair you up with mentors, obviously. And he started little, like, crawling across the boards, you know, in the very beginning, you know, really, and falling, and got back up, and now he's just like, "Yeah, I have an ice hockey team," you know, and so he's proud of that, and we are too, because that's not an easy thing to go do, you know, at 16. Yeah. So huge. It is. I know. And I think part of it is, you know, I guess innate to have that inside of you. And then the other part is like, I guess us, you know, coaching him and doing all of that exposure since he's been little. So he's been used to this. Possibly. And I, me too, you know, watching, you know, I guess like your parents are your first sort of teachers of things. And they, especially I think autistic kids, they take in a lot more, right, than we, you know, than they show us almost, you know, because he really does watch Matt and myself. You know, and you got to walk the walk, right? You can't be, you know, the mom or dad saying, "You better go do all of this," and you're just laying around, you know, not doing maybe some of it yourself, right? So that's at least my feeling. So he sees Matt and I, you know, expanding our world, right? Like, we didn't know anything about a nonprofit. Like, did we have any business doing it? I don't know, but we did it. You know, we didn't know anything about putting on this big, huge community event, but we did it. You know, like I run marathons, or I was a big marathon runner. You know, was I the best runner? No, but I did it. And I tell him these things, you know, like, "Hey, everything you do isn't always going to be successful, or you're not always going to win, or it's not always going to work out. But the point is that you tried." And, you know, and that to me, you're already a winner. You know what I mean? Like, even if you went and said, "Mom, I tried it and I just don't like it." That to me is golden. You know, that's like teaches you more about yourself than anything else, you know, I could ever show you. You know, so I think, you know, Brady watching Matt and I try things even as we gotten older, you know, that may be scary. And I tell him, like sometimes the scary part is because you're supposed to do it. It's telling you to go do it, you know. That's right. That's right. You know, and I tell them all the time, you know, it's such a big world out there, Brady. You know, embrace all of the experiences, see as much of it as you can, meet as many new people as you can. And then you'll take, you know, little nuggets from this or that, you know, and you'll find what you're comfortable with. You know, you're going to find the people that you want to spend more time with then, you know, or the place that you want to be, you know, where you want to be, right? Yeah, absolutely. Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, I'm sh like with your podcast, right? You know, think back before you had your podcast. You know, you weren't doing it, and then all of a sudden the idea came, and I'm like, I think I'll do a podcast. You know, and now you have this amazing podcast. So, you know, and here you are, right? With other people, and you're meeting all these other people all the time. Yeah. And that's what life is about. And, you know, any life, that's what it should be about, you know. So yeah, that's kind of like what we've been trying to teach him. You know, does everything, you know, is every time a success? No, he's told me, I'm not doing that anymore, you know. Many, many times, like, why did you make me go there? You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, first of all, you have free will. I don't ever make you go anywhere, you know, so you don't, you know, there's that, you know, and second of all, I'm super proud that you even went. And no, we don't have to go back there, you know, so there's that, you know. And you can make these choices yourself now as you get older, you know. And so that, you know, I just try to be kind of like a coach for him and, you know, a cheerleader at the same time, you know. And I'm hoping that, you know, some things sink in, and I feel like they have, you know, by the things he's wanted to do. You know, and express to us, you know, on his own. So, and the strides that he's made, it's not always linear, as we know. There's some spikes, and then we're down in the valley, way down in the valley, you know, and we have some struggle times, you know, but then we come out, right? And then the sun shines again, you know. Yeah. That's right. That's right. It's you know, just keeping an open mind about people and about places. This year, this March, we all went to London, and it was a huge trip. Yeah, it was a huge trip for him. You know, he's traveled before, but nothing international. And he did amazing. And, you know, we took him everywhere. And yeah, you know, it's a big city. It's overwhelming. It's overstimulating, even to me. And, you know, it's a lot, right? We did not go on Baker Street. No. No, we didn't. It was in a song, right? Oh, man. I would have loved to have, he would have loved to have seen that. Yeah. Oh, that would have been cool to see. Well, yes. Yeah, that's why we chose it. Because we tossed around like Rome and Brussels. But you know, we thought for Brady's introduction to Europe, let's start something easy. Matt and I have both been there before. We knew, you know, some of the things. And then he chose some things that he wanted to see. And we thought, you know, that he could read the signs, he'll be able to, you know, understand everybody. And so we really had a really great time. And he loved the science museum, he loved the eye. It was fantastic. Yeah. So he really had a good time. That's on my list. Ireland and Scotland. Yeah. Yeah, that is on my list. Brady actually requested Rome because he'll be in Latin three honors. So I think he's kind of thinking, I'd like to go see Rome since we've been sort of talking about Roman gladiators and Yeah, Matt and I have both been to Europe, you know, separately, and we went to Paris, and so we love Europe, and it's such a great, gosh, it's like a classroom, you know, basically. You're in all of this amazing architecture and art and churches and just history, like you said. And it's just a wonderful experience. So I'm really glad he had a great time. I'm glad he wants to go to another place. And I hope, you know, we both loved traveling, and I hope this gives him, you know, that love too, as he carries through his adult life, to go see other parts of the world. Because to me, that is like, a really, you know, life worth living, well lived, to be able to go experience all of that, to get out of your own backyard a little bit, you know. Even in our own country, there's amazing places that we haven't even scratched the surface of, you know. So, and we want to go to as well. He said Mount Rushmore was something else he wanted to go see. So, but yeah, so he's doing really remarkably fabulous, thank goodness. And you know, so we're really proud of him. Yeah. School will be starting soon. Yeah, you know, I've been coming across more and more families who are getting that diagnosis later with their kids, their teens. I've been meeting these families who are like, "Oh, my kid's 14 and we just got our diagnosis 2 weeks ago." You know, so that's been sort of like happening, just like lately in the last like couple of months. I've been meeting more of these families. Or even if your kid is just only two, right, and getting this diagnosis. Of course, they're in two different places, but I would say, you know, my biggest thing for us is, listen, it's not a death sentence. You know, you're going to go through a process of emotions, so allow yourself, give yourself the grace to do that and to feel those feelings. But you know, your child is going to surprise you in so many ways, that you didn't even dream of. So where they are right now, They're not going to stay there exactly. Their skills are gonna, grow and develop in different ways and in different areas. And just, it's going to be like kind of like running a marathon after a marathon after a marathon. You're going to get through one portion and then you'll have another cycle. So just keep your eye on the big prize, which is them and their life and where they need to go, and expose them to all the things that you could possibly can. You don't need to do European vacations. You have listeners, I'm sure they're like, well, I can't afford that. Okay, but there are organizations right where you live that offer free, special needs things in your community, that are movies and reading, days at the library, and all kinds of different organizations. You just have to search it out. And if there isn't one, start one yourself. Right? Go to your local library and say, I noticed you don't have a special needs a story time. How about we start one? I have a 4-year-old who loves books, but he when we come here, this it's too overwhelming for him or her. Maybe we can, with the other kids, maybe we can start a special needs one on a Saturday. Start these things yourself. That's how these things get started in the first place, by a parent who had an idea. So expose them to as much as you can, and as often as you can. And they're going to surprise you in so many ways. And it's just been, a complete honor to be Brady's mom. And I've just been like, I've been so lucky having a front row watching this kid grow. So, yeah, so we have a website. It's BVA dot foundation, and that's our website. And they can find out about us and about our Holly Springs Autism Acceptance Day event, which will be November 9th here in Holly Springs, North Carolina. They can donate, they can read our story. And they can look at our gallery pages. They can learn about our training if they are in this area and they feel like their police or fire department would benefit from a training. They could reach out to us and we would love to provide a free training for them. Even if they're or their elementary school, I do also speak at elementary schools, and do like how to be a friend to someone who's autistic. At schools. So if they would like something like that, they can certainly get a hold of me that way. Yeah, one of the local elementary schools here, the PTA president asked me, for October's Disability Awareness Month to come and talk to all the grades, the elementary grades. And so I have a whole presentation on, how to be a friend to someone who possibly could be in your class, who's autistic, and, what some of those behaviors may look like. And, because it could be scary to some other children who are not familiar with this. And then there's a lot of teasing that can go on, right? And bullying that could happen. We know that this happens. But I've done these talks before. I gave one in every one of Brady's elementary grades. And it made such a world of difference when I feel like when we talk about things openly and honestly, we kind of peel back, right, the layers, and we unveil it. You know what I mean? And then it's not such a scary thing to, especially to children. And we just, there's kids, they're kids at the end of the day, right? Just like all the other kids. They want to have friends, they want to play, on the playground, they want recess, they want to be accepted and included in their class, just like any other kid sitting next to them wants those same things. So, we're all different somehow. And we have to, accept and learn to live together with all of our differences. So once I start like talking about it, you could see on these kids' faces, they're like, oh yeah, it's not a big deal now. It's fine, and they relax about it. It's and starting them, in elementary school, kindergarten is like the right time. They take these lessons as they grow, and they're exposed to these kids early, because these kids are coming. They're coming. So you're gonna have them in your classroom. You're gonna have them in your college classes. You're gonna have them in your workplace. They're gonna live in your on your street. You're going to. They're gonna be. They're all over, right? You're gonna meet these folks, right? So let's learn as much as we can about one another, and. We're not, they're not looking for anything special. They just want to be accepted for who they are, which that's what all of us want. Thanks, Reed.